أما بعد، brothers and sisters in Iman, salamun alaykum wa rahmatullah. Before we continue, I have a message I've been asked to convey to the ladies. I realize it's a long day after Ramadan, after fasting, but we have the last few minutes, half an hour. So out of respect for those ladies who would like to listen to the lecture, please maintain silence. We're talking about the ladies sitting in the banquet hall downstairs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all. Salawat pranay para. Alhamdulillah, we have passed half of the month of Ramadan. From tonight, I'm here in inshallah. Besides the eve of 19th to the 21st of Ramadan, where the topic would be relevant to the Zarbat and Shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salat wa salam. The topic that I've selected for tonight, tomorrow night, and then we'll continue after Shab-e Qadr, the remaining nights that we will have, is the shaitan. Now, it might sound very strange, but you know, we have to realize that this is a reality of this dunya. You know, this life would not be, you know, that interesting if shaitan's, you know, presence is not there. And so we have to, looking at the ayat of Quran also, the issue will be, inshallah, talking about shaitan. And to begin with, I've taken basically the inspiration from the ayat that we recite in Surah Yasin every Thursday night. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically has defined shaitan as far as human beings are concerned. And that is actually the topic of the theme that I have, shaitan, the open enemy. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. And this is the ayat from Surah Yasin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدُ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَنْ لَا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانَ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. That didn't I advise you, O the children of Adam, that you should not worship the shaitan. Here, worship actually, and la ta'budu, it's not only worshipping, but also in the meaning of following the shaitan. Why we shouldn't be, you know, following the shaitan or worshipping him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innahu lakum aduwwun mubeen, surely he is your open enemy. There is nothing hidden about it. An i'buduni haza siratun mustaqim, therefore you should worship and follow me. This is the right path, not any other, you know, path. وَلَقَدْ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms further by saying, لَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا. You know, he certainly has led astray many groups from among you, many, many generations. Jibilla is used in different, as a group, as nations, as generations. You know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that shaitan has misguided many, many, and therefore, أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ, that do you then not comprehend this reality? And here you stay away from the shaitan. So when we look at this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we come to realize that it's not only in this one ayat from Surah Yasin that we recite every Thursday night. In Quran, in many, many places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the shaitan, you know, repeatedly warning us that shaitan is your open enemy. You are doing this because of him. You commit this sins because of him. And so he is the instigator there. He is the one who creates this temptation. And therefore, you know, we must stay away from the shaitan, from his strategies, and away from his agents and his misguidance. There is a concept in Islam where we say junudu shayateen, armies of the shaitans. So it's not only that one individual, he has a whole, you know, group with him. And so we have to be careful about it. We have to stay away, and we cannot do that unless we learn more about the shaitan. You know, how he operates and the means of influence that he uses and the ways, you know, he attacks us. Especially, and we'll be talking about it later on, you know, the entry points that he has as far as capturing the minds and hearts of the human beings. How do we close them so that he does not, you know, influence us in that way? And we have to realize, you know, one of the important things is that we cannot truly be Muslim. We cannot truly, you know, submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless we actually, you know, reject the shaitan. So you can't have Islam without rejecting the shaitan. Total submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only comes when we constantly reject the shaitan and his misguidance. And this is actually, you know, when you look at the kalima, what is the kalima? Starts with La ilaha. It doesn't say only there is one God. It says there is no God but Allah. You had to first reject all the false gods before you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this issue of rejecting the shaitan is there. There's the first point before we go into total submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous passage from Surah Baqarah known as Ayatul Kursi, that mashallah, many of you have memorized it. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالتَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Look at the wordings. The person who rejects the taghut. Taghut is a generic term used for shaitan and anyone who is the agent of shaitan. Or even entity, no non-human entity who becomes a means of influence for shaitan, you know, is also known as taghut. So taghut can be human beings, jinn, or many other, you know, items. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالتَّاغُوتِ, the person who rejects the taghut, وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, and believes in Allah. Belief in Allah comes after rejecting the taghut. When a person has done that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُسْقَى. Then this fellow has indeed, you know, hold on to the strong rope, لَنْفِسَامَ لَهَا, which is not breakable, unbreakable, you know, linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the rope connecting us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. He hears everything that we do and he is aware of us. And so this is where we come to realize that, you know, Islam doesn't only mean believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, it begins with rejecting the false God. And in that category, shaitan is number one there. Now, tonight we'll just look at some very introductory discussions about, you know, who is shaitan? Or if I may rephrase that, what is shaitan? Is it, you know, is it an object or an animal or a human being? No. When we look at the world that we live in, and yeah, everything is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can categorize that in different ways. For our purpose here to understand where does shaitan come into picture, let us look at living beings. And I'm not talking about inanimate things like stones and, you know, mountains and things like that. We are talking about the living beings here, anything which is alive in general. When we look at it, basically we can divide them into two categories for the purpose of our discussion tonight. There are certain living beings which are, you know, visible to us, and there are certain living beings which are non-visible. When it comes to the visible ones, of course, you know, we will even include plants and vegetation in that. because there also has a life. It grows, it comes to being and it dies one day. Of course, there is some limitations as far as, you know, the plants and vegetation are concerned. And then we have the animal world, which is probably the most, vast as far as visible, you know, living beings are concerned vis-a-vis human beings. So we are not looking at, you know, human being as a category here, but this is, we are talking about from a human perspective. On the other side, when we look at the non-visible, living beings, we have two entities there. Number one, we have the malaika, the angels. They are there, but we can't see them. And then there is another species out there known as jinn. In Arabic, Farsi, Urdu, Gujarati, English, is all jinn is jinn. You know, universally known. You know, you don't need any translation for that. And even jinn is not visible as far as human being is concerned. And this is where the issue comes up, you know. So Shaitan, or Iblis, his proper name, on his ID card it says Iblis. Occupation would be Shaitan. So, where does Iblis fit in there? He's not part of the human beings. He's not part of the animals. He's not part of the angels. He's actually from the group known as jinn. There are many people who have this confusion that he was one of the malaika because of the incident. Inshallah, we'll talk more about it. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the malaika to do sajda to Adam alayhi salam, he was there, and so they think, oh, okay, he was part of the assembly of the angels. So this is where we see that, you know, Shaitan basically is a living being, not from the animal world, not from the angels, of course, not from the human beings. He is from the jinn. And the jinn is a very vast, community and a nation by itself. This is only one member from that nation known as jinn or jinnat. What is the proof for that? We don't want to go into details, but just one ayat from Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about this story of the time when he commanded the assembly of the malaika, the angels, to do sajda, to bow down in prostration to Adam alayhi salam, where he says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ فَاسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ. And remember when we said to the angels, prostrate down, you know, before Adam, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. They all prostrated, went into sajda except Iblis. Now, if this sentence stopped there, everybody would say, okay, Iblis is part of the malaika. Because the address is to the malaika, and Allah is saying all of them did sajda except this fellow known as Iblis. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make it very clear. So this is like in brackets, I would put it in our, you know, style. Kana min al jinn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before continuing, as if in brackets, he says, he was from among the jinn. So he was not from among the malaika, but he was there present in that assembly. Now, why was he there? Inshallah, tomorrow. فَفَسَقَ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. And he deviated from the command of his Lord. When they were told to do sajda, he refused. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says to us, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَزُرِّيَّتُهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِي. You know, then, do you take him and his offspring, which means even his offspring is now following the same path. And they are part of the junood al-shayateen, you know, part of the army of the shaitan and iblis. And so Allah says, do you take him and his offspring with the exclusion of me, min duni? You don't follow me, you follow him and his children to be your masters. Wahum lakum adu, while actually they are your enemies. And so this issue of shaitan being enemy and his group being enemies is very clearly confirmed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. And then Allah ends by saying that surely this exchange of masters by some, where they have excluded me from the picture and included shaitan and his descendants, you know, this is eventually an evil thing for the unjust people, because when they see the consequences in the akhirah, they will realize that they are the biggest of the losers there. So let us now, you know, see more difference between jinns and ins. The term ins is used in the Quran many times for insan, for the human being. And even the words jinn and ins are many times combined together when Allah addresses both nations or both communities of human beings and jinn together. And so let us see what are the similarities between us and the jinn. So now we are not necessarily talking about shaitan here. We are talking about the whole community of jinn in general and the entire human race in general. What are the similarities and differences? So we have ins on one side, the human beings, and then we have the jinn. Number one, the human being has been given the ability to know what is right and wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in Surah Al-Insan says, إِنَّ هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ. We have guided him to the right path, إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Either he will be grateful and follow it, or he will be ungrateful and ignore the guidance that I have given. So Allah has given us the ability to know what is right and what is wrong. Even in one of the ayat of the Quran, he says, you know, that he is the one, أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ أُمَّهَاتِ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You are the ones whom Allah took you out of the wombs of your mothers while you didn't know anything. And then Allah says that I gave you the power of hearing, the sight. And this is where he ends by talking about the power of comprehension, which is aql. And so he has given us the tools to acquire knowledge. And similarly, when it comes to the jinn, they are on the par level as far as, you know, ability to know what is right and what is wrong is concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided the guidance to the human beings. Similarly, he has provided guidance to the jinn. We as human beings have been given free will. We are not robots. You know, Allah says, as the ayat I recited earlier, he says, you will be shakir, grateful, by following the guidance, and you will be considered to be ungrateful by ignoring it. So I'm not forcing you to do anything. I'm just guiding you. So the free will is there for human beings as well as for jinn. And so what happens when there is free will? You know, of course the guidance is there, and even the purpose of creation for a human being is there. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in one of the ayat of Quran, surah number 51, ayat 56, where he says, مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The purpose is that we have been created to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, basically to obey his commandments, live a life according to what he wants. And it's interesting that talking about the purpose of life, he includes jinn and ins in the same ayat. مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ. I have not created the jinn and the ins, the human beings, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, except for one purpose, so that they may worship me. And so when we look at this ayat, this is one of those ayat where the jinn and ins have been mentioned together. So their purpose is exactly the same for coming to this dunya. Then we, and because of this, so guidance has been there from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has not created us as robots. We have the free will. And what is the necessary consequences? There will be some who will follow, and there will be some who will not follow. So there are good people among human beings. There are bad people and evil ones among the human beings. Similarly, among the jinn also. Just as there are mu'min among human beings, there are mu'min among jinn. Just as they are kafir among human beings, they are kafir among jinn. They are muttaqi among the human beings, they are muttaqi among the jinns. So maybe you want to know which jinn is muttaqi, maybe sometime. And they are, you know, fasiq human beings, they are fasiq jinn. So all these categories of human beings, good and bad, would also apply in the community of the jinn. They are also of that different kind. But now we come, so these are all the similarities. When it comes to the differences, number one, the issue of creation. The substance from which we were created, the human beings, you know, we have been created from the earth, from turab or tin, different words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used. When it comes to the jinn, Quran is very clear about it, that jinn, their substance doesn't come from the earth, it comes from fire. In Surah Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَّارِ. He created man from dry clay, like the earthen containers, you know, those who made the earth, you know, utensils. And immediately they says, وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَ. And he has created the human being, مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ, from the moving flames of a fire. So this difference is already there in the Quran very clearly, that insan has been created from the earth, whereas jinn has been created from the fire. Another difference is that we as human beings, we cannot see the jinn. You know, when we had the old building here, which is demolished now, I used to hear sometimes people say, oh, if you go there and stay in the night, you will hear voices there. So they were kind of a, of course, just superstition, you know. But we can't see jinn, okay? So we as human beings have a limitation. We can't see jinn. But on the other side, the jinn can see us. So they have, in a way, an upper hand on this issue. We can't see them. They can see us. They coexist with us in this same dunya. I hope you don't be afraid tonight. We as human beings, normally, we can't have influence on the jinn because we can't see the jinn. Of course, there are always exceptions to the rule, but in general, as a human being, you know, a human being cannot have influence on the jinn. Whereas on the other side, the jinn has partially, not fully, influence on the human being. And that is also, there are limitations there, and we'll talk more about it. It's not that, you know, we end up blaming everything that happens to us is to the jinn. You know, especially it's not that the jinn are busy only going to the people who come from the South Asian background. No, sometimes we think that, you know, all these problems are coming because of jinn. There's nothing like that. We'll talk more about it, inshallah, in the ongoing discussions about it. Salawat Quran Ikbara. Now, just keep that chart in mind that we have, you know, animal world on one side, and then we have the angels and the jinn, and we are there as a human being, part of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me end tonight by talking about what is our place in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to realize our own position, our own rank and status, not underestimate our potential. of developing spiritually. And this is where we have to realize that when it comes to the fadilat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one of the ayat of Quran begins by saying, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. كَرَّمْنَا from giving karama, you know, honor and respect. He says, we have indeed honored the children of Adam. وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And we have carried them over the land and the sea, given them the potential to exploit the nature and use for their own good. وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And we have provided them with good things. And then going back to the first theme, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا, he says, وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. And we have preferred them. We have given fadilat to the human beings over many of those whom we have created. And the fadilat, or the preference that we have given, is a true preference. So they have been preferred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where we have to realize that we are basically at the top of the pyramid of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah takes pride in us, you know, when we do things in the right way. Yeah, this is my creation. You know, this is my, basically masterpiece of my creation. We are ashraful makhluqat in that sense. And there are two reasons, I would say, why insan has fazilat over jinn. Number one, we said that human beings also receive divine guidance, and jinn also receive divine guidance. All the anbiya who have come, were all human beings, or were there some jinn among them? Come on. They were all human beings. The jinn also have to seek guidance from anbiya. So the human being has an upper hand there, the position-wise. The jinn also have to refer to the anbiya for guidance. So when you talk about the Prophet being rahmatun lil alameen, it actually includes even the world of jinn. There is a whole surah about jinn and their interaction with Rasulullah. And the second thing is that we see in the history of humanity, according to the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels and the jinn who was there, Iblis, to do sajda to the first human being. Whereas there is not a single example where human beings have been allowed to do sajda to a jinn or an angel. And this is where we see the fazilat and the preference that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the human beings. Let me go back to, I have a couple of slides from 2014, part of my weekly lectures, and end with this hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam. About the issue of takreem and tafzeel of insan, you know, preference that Allah has given to the human being over jinn and malaika and animals. When he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَصَّ الْمَلَكَ بِالْعَقْلِ دُونَ الشَّحْوَى وَالْغَضَبِ وَخَصَّ الْحَيْوَانَاتِ بِهِمَا دُونَهُ وَشَرَّفَ الْإِنسَانَ بِإِعْطَاعِ الْجَمِيعِ فَإِنْ انْقَادَتْ شَهْوَتُهُ وَغَضَبُهُ لِعَقْلِهِ سَارَ الْأَفْضَلُ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ لِوُصُولِهِ إِلَى هَذِهِ الْمَرْتَبَةِ مَعَ وُجُودِ الْمُنَاظِعِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ The translation would be that verily Allah blessed the angels with aql, power of reasoning, without any desire, element of physical desire or anger. And the animals were given only desires and anger. That's how they survive. Without reason. They don't have, the ability to sit down and plan the future, other than whatever is part of their instinct that Allah has created. And he honored the human beings by giving all three elements. He gave the human being the aql, as well as shahwat and ghazab. Means the power of reasoning and the physical desire, and ghadab means, you know, the element of patience and anger to defend himself. And then Amir al-Mu'minin concludes, if the human being restrains his desire and anger by the power of his reason and aql, then he will become better than the angels for having attained that level in spite of the obstacles which the angels had, while the angels had no obstacles, no desires, no temptation, nothing. And this is where you'd realize that a human being has been given the potential that he or she can reach to a level even above the level of the malaika. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demonstrated that the potential from day one when he says to the malaika to do sajda to Adam. This was in a way giving an indication that this can be your position, that malaika would do sajda to you, but you will not do sajda to the malaika. However, if you continue that hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you look at the flip side, where the animals have not been given aql, not power of reasoning, they only have shahwat and ghazab, physical desires and patience and anger for their survival. So if an insan doesn't use the potential, and then what happens? Then he's even lower in rank than the animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually, he says, you know, I have created لَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا لِجَهَنَّمْ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. This is an interesting ayat. He talks about jinn also. So even in Jahannam, you don't only have insan, you have jinnat also. Which means that even in Jannah, you are not without jinn. Whether we'll be able to see you or not, I don't know. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, لَقَدْ ذَرَعْنَا, we have prepared for Jahannam many from the jinn and the human beings. Why? Which kind of jinn or human beings will be in Jannah? لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have minds which they do not use to comprehend things. لَهُمْ عَيْنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes, but they don't use their insight. لَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهِ. They have ears, but they do not really want to listen to the reality. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْعَنْعَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says such human beings are actually like animals, like cattle. Rather, he goes further. Bal hum adall. They are even more misguided than the animals. More lower in the rank. Ulaika humul ghafilun. They are the ones who are heedless ones. And this is where we see, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the potential to us. And so inshallah, you know, we will continue this discussion about knowing more about the shaitan and his strategy of attacking us and how we will be able to prevent ourselves in a better way, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.